Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam tells that in Sri Vrindavan Dham, all the seasons simultaneously are existing to give pleasure to Sri Krishna and the Vrijvasis. Navadvipa is non-different than Vrindavan Dham. We are all happily experiencing many different seasons in the last few days. Tapo divyam putra gayena satvam. Rishabdev, when he instructed his sons in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he began with this verse, that now that you have achieved this human form of life, it is not meant to be pursuing the comforts, securities, and pleasures that are available for the lower species. Human life is especially a gift of Krishna for the purpose of self-realization. By performing tapasya for this purpose, one can be given the greatest happiness. Spiritual happiness is transcendental to the happiness and distress of this world. As long as we are seeking happiness in this world, the byproduct and natural result of such a quest is suffering. Little Prahlad was 5 years old, but when he was in the womb of his mother, he heard from his guru, Sri Narada Muni. This little child inside mother's body, by Narada Muni's grace, could hear very carefully. He was in the darkness of the womb, completely dependent on his mother for his very survival. But from Narada Muni, he understood that truly everyone is dependent on Krishna. Because whatever the mother, whatever the father, whatever anyone who helps us gives is ultimately Krishna's property, Krishna's grace. When we hear the word sarva karana karanam, that Krishna is the cause of all causes, the source of everything, it has incredible insight in every situation of life. Krishna is the root cause of all that exists. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that Krishna has only one motive. His motive is because he is Aham Bija Pradapita, the father of all living beings. Whatever he creates is out of his love for everyone's benefit. Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that we should strive to come out of this material world. Because this material world, from the highest planet down to the lowest, they're all places of misery. Because death is inevitable, whether we're Brahma or a little insect. So if everything Krishna does is out of his love, his compassion, his mercy, his Karuna Sindhu, limitless ocean of mercy, why did he create the material world in this way? Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. A place of suffering. And a place where wherever happiness we find, it just induces us to become attached to something that will be taken away. Sometimes people think, if I was God, I would not create material existence like this. Because there's serious suffering. So often we hear about the sufferings of this world. It's inconceivable, it's heartbreaking, it's tragic. Why? First of all, we should understand we're not God. The Supreme Absolute Truth is Achintya, inconceivable. Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachyate. The Absolute Truth is perfect and complete. Everything emanating, and whatever the Lord does, is perfect and complete. Because we are seeing things from the perspective of today and yesterday, tomorrow, maybe next year, all within this little tiny lifetime. Na hanyate hanyamane sarire, na jayate mriyate vakadachi. The soul is eternal. Turning away from Krishna, wanting to enjoy separate from Krishna, through exploiting and plundering the resources of material nature, and continuing to do so is based on our free will. But for the eternal soul, all these things from the perspective of eternity, what is one lifetime? It's not even a flash of a second, not even a moment. But within it, in this human form of life, is the opportunity to revive our original God consciousness. In 1966, Srila Prabhupada spoke in a tape recording machine a very famous description of the chanting of the holy names. He said, this chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, is a sublime method of reviving our original Krishna consciousness or God consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said, it is not a superimposition on the mind. It is actually the original, natural, essential consciousness of every living being. To realize we are eternal, to realize that we're all connected to Krishna's inconceivable knowledge, and to feel the ananda, the ecstasy of the love for Krishna that is within us. And in loving Krishna, loving all of his creations and loving all living beings. That's the way the soul sees, feels. But just like a nice eye, when it's covered by a cataract, it only sees after some time the various cloudy coverings of the cataract. And everything and everyone is seen through that. And if we have such a cataract birth after birth, we think that's what it really is. But when we remove it, that covering, we see things as it is. So transcendental knowledge is to remove the darkness of ignorance, to remove that cataract of the false ego, so that we can see everything in truth. Essentially, the whole purpose of the entire created world is to give the living entities various reasons, understandings, and opportunities to revive our original natural consciousness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came 1486. Here in Sri Mayapur Dham, he appeared to teach us in a wonderful, exciting, and pleasing way how to revive our original Krishna consciousness. In 1975, Srila Prabhupada was here in Mayapur having a conversation with devotees and guests. At that time, this little temple, I think it was about the second building that was built here in Mayapur. Very small little temple for small size, 8 metal brass deities of Sri Radha Madhava and Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada said, we have named this temple Mayapur Chandrodaya Mandir. Because it is here that Lord Chaitanya appeared. The verse in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, tells that Lord Chaitanya, he appeared in the womb of Sachi Devi like the moon appears from the ocean. So Mayapur Chandra, he appeared like the moon in Mayapur. So he is Mayapur Chandra. Udaya means rising, the rising moon of Mayapur. Because as the moon rises in the sky and it gets higher and higher, it gives light in all directions to everyone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Sri Mayapur Dham for the purpose of spreading his grace through Harinam Sankirtan, through the path of pure devotional service to the whole world. Srila Prabhupada wanted the devotees to build this beautiful community, the temple of the Vedic planetarium, to create such a culture of devotion, such a community of pure devotees, that the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would rise higher and higher and higher and give light to everyone in every town and every village through the world. Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Brahman, while living in Mayapur, performed such beautiful, sweet pastimes. Leading to the inauguration of the Sankirtan movement. During our Mayapur Yatra, we will just take certain lessons and stories from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes as revealed by the Acharyas in our holy scriptures, to bring us to the different stages of Lord Chaitanya's beautiful life. His Bal Leela is from his birth till he is 5 years old. So we are still there. Yesterday, we discussed Lord Chaitanya as a little child stealing the food of the pilgrim Brahman. But really, did he steal it? Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Everything belongs to the Lord. So he doesn't really steal anything. But to reciprocate with his devotees' love, he accepted it. This is the true feelings and realizations of a Vaishnav. Nadanam najanam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavata bhakti rohayita kitvai. Lord Chaitanya taught himself. Who knows better how to please Krishna than Krishna? But there's someone who knows better how to please Krishna than even Krishna. That is Sri Radharani. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Lord Sri Krishna, in the mood of the prema, the pure love of Sri Radha, is teaching us how to love Krishna. Praying, I do not want wealth, power, fame, influence, knowledge, followers, liberation from suffering, all sorts of different magical, mystical powers. I only want to please you, my Lord, to serve you unconditionally. That means our highest aspiration is that Krishna is pleased to accept our offering. It sounds so simple, because it is so simple. The problem is we're so complicated. Jiva Goswami, greatest of all philosophers, Sridhar Swami, the original commentator of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, all these authors of many volumes of great literatures. They all taught this simple principle that the perfection of knowledge, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlava, is what brings us to this simple state of surrender. Surrender is Krishna. The highest aspiration of my life is you will be pleased to accept my offerings. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. If with love devotion a fruit, a flower, a leaf, or water is offered to Krishna, Krishna is pleased to accept it. Hanuman was very strong, very resourceful. He used it all for Sri Ram's service. And Sri Ram accepted it. Shabari was a simple, illiterate lady living in a cave. She just offered some little fruits, little berries to Ram. That's all she had. She didn't have much. She didn't even have a plate to give it. She just gave it to him with her hands. But Ram accepted it in the same way because of the sincerity of her intent. She gave everything she had. That supreme absolute truth performed his lila as a little child in Mayapur, just as he has been, as he had in Gokul, Mahavan, when he was Gopal, to attract our hearts, to teach us many incredible lessons in very, very sweet, innocent ways, and to reciprocate with the love of his devotees. Nimai was very mischievous. He was mischievous to attract our hearts. And whoever he was mischievous to fell in love with him, even if they were angry. Even if Nimai was causing so much disturbance, it was attracting them with so much love. So when he was a child, 4 or 5 years old, with his friends, he would go to the bathing ghats on the banks of Ganga here in Sri Mayapur Navadvip town. And in those days, we were explaining Navadvip was very populated. There were thousands of people at each bathing ghat. And many people, like Brahmins, they were coming for very holy, purificatory, religious purposes. So people kind of respected each other like that. They would come to gather water for their puja. They would come to take a very sacred bath to purify themselves for whatever pujas they were doing. Of course, their pujas were mostly in those days for very materialistic purposes. Yesterday we were discussing the worship of demigods. The gopis worshipped Durga Katyayani. They worshipped so that they could give their hearts and love to Krishna. So demigod worship really means when we are worshiping empowered beings for the purpose of our own materialistic purpose. Bhakti is when our worship, our puja, our purpose is for pure, unalloyed devotional service, for purification, for love, not to accomplish things that people accomplish anyway, even if they don't worship. There are so many people in this world who are millionaires and rulers of nations, who have beautiful wives and handsome husbands and many children and good educations, who don't worship any demigods. So why should we worship for things that people get anyway? Things that are destined for death. In bhakti, all our prayers, all our purposes are for the highest liberation. And that highest liberation can never be achieved. It can only be given to us when the Supreme Being is pleased by our unconditional efforts to serve Him. So little Nimai would go to the bathing ghats. He caused so much commotion along with his friends. He was the leader. Can you imagine? People are chanting Vedic hymns. Very excellent, perfect pronunciation. Ladies are singing songs, collecting their waters, taking their holy baths, and suddenly a whole group of these children, 4 or 5 year old children, they jump in the water and they're screaming and they're yelling, they're splashing, and they're going up to the people who are bathing. Nimai especially was fond of swimming underwater. And he'd see a Brahmin chanting his Gayatri mantra. Nimai would grab him by the feet underwater and pull him. The Brahmin's trying to do his Gayatri mantra and he's dragged under the water. Then Nimai lets go and he comes up and he's wondering, who did that? Then a moment later, when he's looking around, Nimai comes up from the water with his mouth full of that water and spits it right in his face. And he swims away, and all the children are laughing at that Brahmin. And he goes to somebody else and comes out from the water, kicks with his feet water in the face of that person. Other residents of Navadvip, they'd come out of the water nice and clean. And just when they were all dried and ready to do their pujas, Nimai and his friends would throw sand all over their bodies. The young girls, some of them, they would bring little deities to worship them on the banks of the Ganges for the purpose of getting a good husband. When they would go in the river to take their bath before the puja, Nimai would sit on the little throne that they made. And he'd be eating all the offerings. He'd say, "What are you doing?" He'd say, "Give me all the rest of the offerings." He said, "I will fulfill all your desires because I am the source of all the demigods." Little Nimai saying this. They didn't understand it. Some of the girls ran away with the offerings. Nimai said, "If you give me your offerings, I bless you that you will have a very kind, compassionate, handsome, intelligent, wealthy husband, and you will have 7 well-behaved, very intelligent sons. But if you run away from me, then my blessing is you will have an old, deformed husband with 4 co-wives." So when the girls heard that, they become quite superstitious. They came running back to give Nimai the offerings, and Nimai ate them with a smile. The men would bathe on one bank, the ladies would bathe in another ghat. As they're bathing, Nimai and his friends, some of them would be doing so much splashing and so much kicking and so much spitting and so much making noise, distracting everybody. And others, while that was going on, would very secretly take all the men's clothes and put it at the women's ghat, and bring all the women's clothes to the men's ghat. Then after they take their bath and they were just distracted by Nimai in so many ways, when they go to get dressed, where her sari was, the lady found a kopan. The man where he put his kopan, there was a sari. And whatever else, all the things are that ladies wear. Sannyasis don't know the details. This created really a disturbance. They had to get back in the water. They couldn't come out of the water. And how are they going to transfer? Nobody dared to come out to transfer back because they were all so ashamed and embarrassed. And Nimai and the friends, they would just be spitting and splashing and throwing sand and laughing. Some of the young girls and Brahmins, they would come to complain to Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata. The girls would complain to Lord Chaitanya's mother, and the Brahmin man would complain to Jagannath Mishra. Jagannath Mishra became very angry. "How could my Nimai be doing this?" Sachimata's thinking, "Why is he eating the food meant for Durga and for Vishnu and for everyone and eating their offerings? What's going to happen to my child?" Jagannath Mishra told the men, "I will go and I will punish him." And as he was on his way to the bathing ghat, the girls, because actually they were only complaining, like the gopis would complain about Krishna stealing butter. They only complained because They just loved Nimai, and they loved when he performed his pastimes. They wanted to talk about it. In the name of complaining, they were actually glorifying the Lord with love. So the girls, they just complained. They ran secretly. And they called out to Nimai when he was playing in the river, said, "Your father's coming, he's very angry, you better go." Nimai said to his friends, "If my father comes, tell him I did not come here today." Is that a lie? No. Is that the truth? No. What is it? It's the absolute truth. Because we, you and me, if we tell a lie, it's because we're trying to hide something we've done, or because we are embarrassed, or because we don't want to get in trouble, or for whatever other reasons, because we want to cheat somebody. But Krishna, when he does like this, Nimai, it's only to increase the love of his devotee. It's the highest, that love is the highest truth. So somehow Nimai told his children, that his friends, and then he came out and he came home. Jagannath Mishra, Sachi Devi, they see him. How is it possible? Jagannath Mishra came. They said he didn't come today. He came back and there's Nimai. He's completely dry. His beautiful hair is totally dry. He has dust all over his body. He has all the ink spots from his studies. Because little children, when they write, they get ink spots all over their body. How is this possible? Nimai told his mother and father, "I'm just now going to the Ganges." They said, "What? We just got all these complaints about you." He said, "Oh? They're complaining about me like this before I even went to the Ganges? If they're going to say this, now I am going to the Ganges and I'm going to cause them more mischief than ever." And then he smiled and ran away to join his friends. The Brahmins and the ladies, they came to Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi and said, "Actually, we're not angry. There's no greater bliss we find than when Nimai does this mischief." There is no one more fortunate. In fact, Vrindavan Das Thakur in this context explains, if the Vedas had millions of forms, and each of those forms had millions of mouths, they could never adequately explain how fortunate Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi were, and how much happiness in their good fortune that they were given. To have the Supreme Truth as their own little son, who totally loved them as his mother and father. And they totally, with their whole hearts, body, minds, words, souls, loved him as their son. One time, Jagannath Mishra had a dream. This happened just after Jagannath Mishra chastised Nimai for his mischief. A Brahmin appeared in this dream. He was very
angry.
The Brahman told Jagannath Mishra,
you do not know anything about your son. You are thinking that your son is just your son? What right do you have? What foolishness that you are chastising your son? You do not understand what a great transcendental personality he is?
Jagannath Mishra replied
from his heart. He said, my son may be a demigod. He may be a mystic, supercharged, empowered yogi. He may be the greatest of all saints. He may be Lord Narayan. But none of these things matter to me because he's only my son. And it's the father's duty to educate his son. If I do not teach my son right from wrong, how will he ever learn what is right from wrong?
The Brahmin was so pleased. He offered his obeisances to Jagannath Mishra and disappeared. When Jagannath Mishra woke up, he was astonished. Just after that, Jagannath Mishra inaugurated the education of Nimai. It's a nice little ceremony where he first gives his son some chalk and a little chalkboard, and Jagannath Mishra starts teaching him how to write letters. Starts teaching him the alphabet. Little Nimai, incredibly, as soon as he saw a letter once, he could write it perfectly. As soon as he heard a word once, he could say it perfectly in Sanskrit and write it down. He became the pride of his parents. He learned so fast, so quickly. And he would love to debate whatever he knew and how he would debate. Little child, he would establish some principle of truth. He'd say, can anyone defeat me? Nobody could defeat him. Even great scholars, he's just a little boy. He'd say, you are all fools. This is not the truth. Then he would defeat what he would just say. Then he would say, could anyone prove the original thing I said was true? Nobody could say anything, because he just defeated it. And then he would defeat what he just spoke and reestablish what he just defeated as the truth. It's hard enough for us to even understand that. He was so brilliant and so mischievous. One day, actually, Vrindavan Das Thakur and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, they write that Nimai, in his restless childhood pastimes, he had no fear of his mother and father. In fact, whatever they taught him to do, he would do the opposite. And whatever they told him not to do, he would do it even more. But whenever Nimai was in the presence of his brother, Vishwarup, he was very humble and full of respect.
Vishwarup was extraordinary.
He was several years older than Nimai. He was totally well-behaved, respectful, and he was such a great scholar.
But he was a scholar in such a way, even as a small boy, that he knew the Vedic literatures so well.
But every word of every line of every sloka or verse, he understood the essence, was pure unalloyed love and devotion to Lord Vishnu.
Saragrahi. Saragrahi means one who is always seeking the essence.
In the Bible it is said, seek and ye shall find. If we're seeking the essence, Krishna will reveal the essence to us. If we're seeking something else, that's what we're going to see. The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, ye yatam mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajam yaham mamavart manuvartante manushya parata sarvasha. As people surrender to me, as people approach the Lord reveals himself accordingly. Vishwarup was always seeking the essence. He had pure unalloyed devotion to Krishna. He was an expansion of Lord Nityananda, Balaram, the original servant of Krishna. When he would see the mischievous, naughty pastimes of Nimai, Vishwarup, he understood. He was simply amazed that this is Krishna, this is the Gopal of Vrindavan, who is performing pastimes as my little brother here in Navadvip. He would sometimes take Nimai in his lap, and Nimai would be very well behaved with Vishwarup. Vishwarup, from his birth, was completely renounced of any false ego. He was completely renounced from any material pursuit for happiness. He just wanted to chant Krishna's names, hear about Krishna, and serve Krishna. He understood that Krishna has come in the form of his younger brother, Nimai. But not wanting to interfere with the lila of the Lord, he kept it secret within his own heart and never spoke it to anyone. Vishwarup was so renounced. He didn't even like to see because it hurt his heart so much. The nature of his particular compassion, when he saw people wasting their lives away on the road to suffering and death, pursuing wealth and sensual pleasures and education for that purposes, it broke his heart. It was like a fire that was burning in his mind because he was tasting the sweetness of pure love. So he would go early in the morning before others would come, and he'd bathe in the Ganga and worship Mother Ganga because Mother Ganga is the water that is coming from the lotus feet of Lord Sri Vishnu, which has come to cleanse and purify the world. Later on, when Nimai was older and became a great teacher. He taught that the Ganges River is so pure that if we have faith, by touching the water of the Ganges, what to speak of bathing in it, by tasting it from drinking it, by seeing the river Ganges, or even by being touched by the breeze that has touched Mother Ganga, pure unalloyed devotional service can awaken in our hearts. Because that's the true purpose of the Ganges coming into this world. She's an expansion of the pleasure potency of the Lord, who has descended in a liquid form. And just like we have a body, and within this body is a soul, and it's the soul that's fully conscious of every aspect of the body. So the soul of the water of the Ganges is Ganga Devi. She's fully present, fully conscious in every drop of her water to bestow liberation, purification, and ultimately prema, pure love. So this is how Vishwarup went to take his bath in the Ganges, worship Mother Ganga. And then he would go right to Sri Adwaita's house. Because in Sri Adwaita's house, the only things happen. Adwaitacharya had his deity, Madan Gopal. He had a Shaligram Shila. And he would do very sincere, devoted puja. When Adwaita Prabhu was immersed in those early mornings doing his abhishekams, alankars, making the bhoga offerings, the artis, when he was absorbed in his puja, when Vishwarup came into the house, Adwaita was so enthusiastic. He would just stop all his puja and run out to embrace Vishwarup. Vishwarup was just he was in his adolescence at the time. When Vishwarup would speak from the scriptures, it mesmerized the devotees' hearts. Some of these devotees who were gathered, Adwaita, Srivas, they were the age of his father, some of them were the age of his grandfather. They loved to hear Vishwarup speak about Krishna, speak about any subject, because it was saturated with love for Krishna. They couldn't stop listening to him, and Vishwarup was so eager to hear from them. Machchita vadgata prana bodhyanta parasparam katyantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. This is devotee community. Krishna tells in Gita, when devotees are inspired and enlivened, taking great pleasure discussing Krishna among each other. Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti mad bhakta. Krishna tells Narada, you will find me wherever my devotees are gathered together, taking great pleasure hearing and chanting my glories. On the highest level, Harikatha was taking place at Adwaita's house. Vishwarup did not want to go anywhere else. He's a child. He's with all these very elderly senior people, just talking about Krishna, discussing the scriptures, seeking the essence of Krishna in every scripture. He never wanted to leave. Sachimata would cook. She'd tell Nimai, restless little Nimai, who's 4 or 5 years old. She'd say, go bring Vishwaroop, tell him lunch is ready. And Nimai would run to the house of Advaita Prabhu. And Navadvip here. And as soon as he come into the house, he tell Vishwaroop, mother is calling. Advaita, Srivas, brothers, all these gathered Vaishnavas, they were just in the highest ecstasies of discussing Krishna Katha. Because when we discuss Krishna Katha in the association of people who have faith, who are in the mood of surrendering to that Krishna Katha, we are actually in the presence of Krishna. Krishna's pastimes are not something that is limited by time. Through sound vibration, when we hear these pastimes that we're hearing today, we're actually participating in that pastime. It is directly being enacted in our hearts when we hear with faith. So can you imagine all these great devotees talking about Krishna? They couldn't stop talking about Krishna. And here's little Nimai, 4 or 5 years old, just coming from playing all day with dust on his body, hardly any clothes. And he says, Vishwaroop, please come. They looked at Nimai. Nimai gazed at them with his beautiful lotus eyes. When they were touched by his glance, something happened. Seeing his eyes, seeing his moonlight golden face, seeing every limb of his body, he was just a little child, so delicate, so tender, so beautiful. Every limb was like the supreme ornament of sweetness. They just looked at him. They couldn't speak. They couldn't talk about Krishna. That never happened to them before. Satatam kirti antamam. Bhagavad Gita says the quality of a great devotee is always talking about Krishna. They couldn't talk about Krishna, because they were so totally immersed, their hearts, their souls, in just seeing Nimai. Their love grew to such a level from the very core of their hearts, they couldn't talk. Samadhi, absorption, just looking at him. And Nimai smiled at Vishwaroop, please come, please come. So Vishwaroop, just ran back to his house, and little Nima held on to his dhoti and ran behind him. When they were gone, all the great Vaishnavas, they were still, they couldn't move, they couldn't speak. And finally, Advaita said, what just happened? They loved Krishna, but they felt more love for Krishna than they ever felt before looking at Nimai, but they didn't know he was Krishna. The power of Yoga Maya. Nimai did not want them to know it this time. Advaitacharya said, I don't know what type of powers this little child has. He's not ordinary. Whatever love we have for Krishna somehow awakens whenever we see him. Who is this child? Vishwaroop would go home. He would honor Satyamata's prasad that she had offered to Vishnu on the altar. And after eating prasad, whenever he was at home, he hardly said anything to anyone. He just was in the temple room. praying, remembering Krishna, chanting Krishna's names.
And as soon as the opportunity came, he ran back to the house of Advaitacharya.
Jagannath Mishra and Sachidevi were becoming somewhat worried about Vishwaroop because he just had no interest in anything else. And Vishwaroop, it's repeated again and again, his heart was feeling so much pain to see people suffering, wasting the valuable moments of human life. Every moment is precious. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Because this human form of life out of 8,400,000 species is durlabham. It's very rare. Durlabha manava janama satsange. And the rarest thing in this human life is to associate with devotees, with saintly people, who we could absorb ourselves in the highest purpose. So seeing people wasting their lives was heartbreaking to Vishwaroop. And he couldn't do anything about it, because however much he tried, nobody would listen to him. No one would listen to any of the devotees. People were totally engrossed in their egoistic, selfish pursuits. And if anyone tried to remind them, they would call them beggars, they would call them parasites, they would call them, what is useless, what are you renouncing, you're going to die just like us. At that time, Vishwaroop learned that his mother and father were making final plans for his marriage. Upon hearing that, without saying a single word to anyone anywhere, Vishwaroop left home. He entered into the forest. Soon after, he accepted the vows of a sannyasi, given the name Shankar Aranya. And he traveled throughout India, living in forests, going to holy places, and never again in his life did he have any communication with his mother and father. Suddenly, he was gone. When Jagannath Mishra and Sachidevi learned that Vishwaroop had become a sannyasi, their hearts exploded with grief. In those days especially, you never see such a person again. And even Nimai loved Vishwaroop, his brother, so deeply. He wouldn't see him again. When Nimai heard that his brother had left home forever, Nimai fell unconscious. Jagannath, Sachi, and Nimai, they wailed, crying very loudly. The families, the friends, the relatives, they came to try to console them, especially Jagannath Mishra. The great devotees and the family members, they were telling Jagannath Mishra, "You should be very happy. Your son has become a sannyasi. He surrendered his life to the loving service of Lord Krishna. This is the perfection of life.
Don't you understand the Vedic literature say that if in a family one person takes sannyas, then millions of generations of the whole family will get the supreme liberation. He's liberated your family, millions of your family members, your forefathers in the past, in the present, in the future. They're all going to get liberated because of the greatness of your child, Vishwarup. This is a time for celebration. Be happy.
Jagannath Misha kept crying. All this philosophy doesn't touch your heart when your heart is broken because of love and separation. And they would speak so many things. And hearing them speaking, sometimes he was relieved and he became peaceful. But then when the thought of Vishwarup came back into his mind again, he would cry. But then he contemplated the philosophy of pure devotion. That Krishna gave me my son, Vishwarup. He's not just my son, he's Krishna's son. And by Krishna's mercy, Krishna gave him to me. And now by Krishna's own free will, he's taken him away from me. Krishna's independent. Krishna can do anything he wants to anyone, at any time, anywhere, in any way. But Krishna's always perfect. Krishna's always compassionate. I surrender my body, my words, my thoughts, my life to Krishna. In that surrender, Jagannath Mishra found solace. But the greatest solace was in Nimai. The family and friends, they told Jagannath Mishra, Vishwarup may have gone to liberate all your family members, but you still have Nimai. And even 10 million of the most wonderful sons in all of the world cannot compare to Nimai. Be happy with Nimai. Nimai became just to try to give solace and comfort to his parents. He became very well behaved. And he engrossed in his studies. One day, Nimai ate a betel nut. Because of the intoxicating effect of the betel nut, Nimai fell unconscious. His mother and father sprinkled water on his face and in his mouth, and he came to consciousness. They said, "What happened?" He said, "I had a dream. It was a wonderful dream. Vishwarup came to me in this dream. He was the crest jewel of all sannyasis. He took me by the hand and took me away from here. And he said, 'Nimai, come with me, become a sannyasi in the renounced order of life. We will be together.'" I told my brother that who will take care of our helpless mother and father? They need me. I will stay and I will take care of them. That is my duty. And I will become a householder to protect my mother and father. What do I know about sannyas? Vishwarup said to Nimai in the dream, he was very happy. He said, "Please give my thousands and thousands and thousands of obeisances to Mother Sachi." So
such a wonderful dream. From that time, Nimai became very, very absorbed in his studies.
At every moment, he was reading a book.
He became so expert at every subject matter,
so learned, even though he was still a child.
People recognized him as being the greatest scholar in all of Navadvipa, the high seat of learning. One day, Jagannath Mishra had a dream. In this dream, let us explain it in this way. He woke up from the dream.
He bowed down and started crying out with great feeling, "Krishna, Krishna, please do not take my son away."
And Sachimata said, why are you saying this?
He said, "I had this dream. In the dream, there was our beloved Vishwambar, Nimai. He had a shaved head and the saffron robes of a sannyasi. He was surrounded by thousands of devotees, headed by Advaita and all of the other great saints of Navadvipa. They were all worshiping him. They were all chanting his glories. And together, Nimai was inducing them all in ecstatic love to chant the holy names."
I saw millions of people following Nimai. Nimai was sitting on a throne, and all the great devotees were coming, and he was putting his lotus feet on their heads. And then the dream changed, and there were millions of people following him to Jagannath Puri, chanting his names and glories. I think that Nimai is going to take sannyas. If he takes sannyas, how will we live?
Sachimata said,
"This was just a dream. Don't take it seriously. Nimai will never leave us. He loves his home, and he's totally engrossed in his studies."
Now I'm going to rewind, because this dream happened a little later.
But what did happen was, when Jagannath Mishra saw little Nimai so engrossed in his studies,
he said to Sachi Devi, "This is the same thing that Vishwaroop did."
Because the Vedic literatures, if you study the Vedas seriously, you realize that all the pleasures and all the promises that everyone's living for in this material world, it's all an illusion. The only truth is surrender to Vishnu, love for Krishna. If he keeps studying, he's going to lose all attachments, all attractions for everything in this world. He's going to become a sannyasi. He's going to leave us. We cannot live without him. We will die. Today, I declare that Nimai should no longer study. Sachimata said, "What kind of foolish thing is this you're saying? He's a little boy. He should study. If he doesn't study, how is he going to earn a living when he grows up? And who's going to be willing to marry him if he's uneducated?" Jagannath Mishra said, "It is not me that's foolish. It is you. Don't you understand that everything is under the control of Krishna? I'm a great scholar. I know all the Vedas. But we don't have any food in our house. We're so poor. But look, we see over there. There are people who are totally uneducated. They cannot write a single letter of the alphabet. And yet they have so much money that there are thousands of great pundits and mahapundits waiting at their door trying to get a donation. If Krishna wants Nimai to have a nice wife, he will have a nice wife, whether he's educated or uneducated. And Jagannath Misha called little Nimai and said, from this day on, you are not allowed to study. You can do anything you want, but not study. So Nimai accepted that. He didn't study, but he definitely did anything he wanted. And at this point, he was at the culmination of his mischievousness. Day and night. He and his friends, they would be observing Navadvipa. One example is given by Vrindavan Das Thakur. They saw a beautiful banana garden with banana trees in some very nice home garden. So they examined it. And that night, he and one of his friends put a big white sheet over them. Two under one sheet. They looked just like a bull. And they came and started smashing against all the banana trees. And the owner of the house saw this big bull destroying his garden, and he got so angry and he started chasing after, and they ran away. They took off their sheet. They were laughing and jumping and because they caused so much mischief. Another example of what they would do is at night. They would go to people's houses, especially people they knew were very proud and not respectful. They would latch and lock the doors from the outside. Now, in those days, no one had toilets inside their house. Not in Bengal. You went outside to respond to the calls of nature. And when nature calls, everyone laughs because everyone has that experience. Whether you are a sannyasi or a brahmachari, or whether you're a grihasta or vanaprastha, whether you're male or female, or from one caste or one religion or one social background, whether you're a billionaire or in poverty, when nature calls, it's the same for everyone. Some people respond in a golden toilet bowl, and some people respond on the railway tracks. It really doesn't make any difference. When nature calls, you just have to go. So at night, people have to go. So like any other day, they get up and they go to the door to go out into the moonlight and the stars and into the field and be relieved. But now, the door doesn't open. And the windows don't open. Nimai and his friends were very thorough. They just locked up the house from the outside, and they're inside. And they started screaming and knocking. Howling. That's the way it is. Nature calls. First it's a little whisper.
Then it's a message. Then it's a strong demand. And soon, it's howling. And Nimai would see them howling and trying to get out, but they couldn't get out because, you know, these were Brahmin people. They couldn't do it in their house. They would be laughing and clapping and dancing, and they'd run away. One day, Nimai's friends came to Sachimata and told that Nimai is sitting on top of a large pile of dirty, discarded pots. Sachimata was very alarmed. She ran to the place, and there she saw little Nimai. His beautiful golden complexion was covered by the black soot from the bottom of the pots. Because these pots are used to cook for Lord Vishnu, the Bhoga. And in those days, these clay pots, they would be used once for cooking and it's cooked with fire. So the pots would be all black. Blazing fire under them. And then they discard the pots. They just cook once with them. Then the clay pots would naturally just organically go back into the earth. So here is Nimai with all these old, which was considered dirty pots. And Sachidevi asked, Nimai, what are you doing? Why are you in such a dirty place? Nimai said, because of you, I'm uneducated. If I'm uneducated, how am I supposed to know what is dirty and what is clean? If you want me to remain a fool, then you can't expect me to understand the difference. Sachimata said, you're a Brahmin child. You're the child of Jagannath Mishi. You should not be sitting in this dirty place. Look at your beautiful limbs full of all this soot. Come down. Nimai said, I will not come down because whatever I touch becomes purified. He said, what is this? Pure and impure. These are all the dualities of this material existence. I am the source of everything, Mother. Whatever I touch, pavitra, becomes purified. Nothing can become impure when it touches me. Sachimata was thinking, what is my boy talking? And meanwhile, more and more of the neighbor ladies were listening to little Nimai. And he said, besides that, these pots were cooked. Were used for cooking for Vishnu, so they're tadit, they're pure. So how can you say that I'm dirty? And if you leave me uneducated, I can never understand anything more. At that time, the ladies who were surrounding, they all agreed with Nimai. They took his side. They said, Sachidevi, what ignorant fool has convinced you to not allow your child to study? Our children don't like to study. It's such a great challenge to somehow or other get them to study. They just want to play. Your son loves to study, and you don't let him study. Who is the enemy that has convinced you of this ignorance? Then they looked up at Nimai and said, stay on those pots. We are on your side. If your mother doesn't allow you to study, then you should do whatever you want. Sachimata was very much it's like arrows in her heart.
And she herself had to climb to the pot, to the top of the pile of pots, and bring her dirty little Nimai and carry him down and give him nice bath and then give him prasad. When Jagannath Mishra came home that night, Sachimata told him that Nimai is very unhappy. He really wants to study. And then the family members gathered around Jagannath Mishra and said, if Krishna is in control of everything, then even if Nimai studies, if Krishna wants him to stay home, he'll stay home. And if Krishna wants him to prosper in his life and take care of his parents, he will take care of his parents. So why are you interfering with his study? Just depend on Krishna. Jagannath Mishra allowed Nimai to resume his studies. In fact, just after that, he gave him his sacred thread. Which is like a further inauguration into the study of the Vedas. And when this beautiful ceremony took place, Nimai assumed the mood and the form of Vamanadeva. Everyone was so attracted. When he was on that pile of pots, he was speaking in the mood of Dattatreya. All the various incarnations of the Supreme Truth were manifested in different times in the pastimes of Vishvambhar, Lord Chaitanya. Is His Holiness Jaipatak Maharaj here yet? His Holiness Srila Jaipatak Maharaj is expected to be here. He is in a meeting. There are many wonderful pastimes that are explained, where Nimai would go to the greatest of the scholars of Navadvipa and challenge them. And he would also challenge the devotees. Devotees like Gadadhar. Gadadhar Pandit, from his very birth, he had no material inclinations or attractions. He just loved Krishna. He loved to hear about Krishna, to be with the devotees of Krishna, to offer seva to Krishna, to cry for Krishna, to chant Krishna's names. That was Gadadhar. Although he was approximately the same age as Nimai, he was completely different. He was never naughty. He was never mischievous. He never did all these things with Nimai. He was always just doing seva and puja and kirtan. And he was one of the people who loved to be at Advaitacharya's house. When Nimai would see Gadadhar, he would say, Gadadhar, I have a question for you. Gadadhar would say, what is your question? And he would ask him a very, very complicated question based on Sanskrit grammar. Gadadhar had no taste, no inclination, no interest in such a debate. But He loved Nimai so much, he didn't know why. He couldn't not be in his association. But at the same time, he couldn't tolerate being in his association. Nimai was such a logician and such a grammatical genius. And he could intertwine words in such a way that mesmerize anybody and everybody. And that's exactly what he did. He asked Gadadhar, "What is the meaning of liberation?" And Gadadhar gave a standard explanation of meaning of liberation. Nimai tore everything he said, every word he spoke, he tore it to pieces and defeated it. And Gadadhar was thinking in his heart, "I just want to flee. I want to get out of here." But Nimai would be holding him. He wouldn't let him go. And then Nimai would go to Mukunda. Mukunda was always in the association of devotees. His voice was so sweet. When he would sing kirtan, everyone, all the devotees' hearts would melt in ecstatic love. When he sang about the wonderful pastimes of Vrindavan, when he sang the names of Sri Sri Radha Govinda, it was with so much feeling, so much devotion, and such sweetness. It didn't just attract the mind. It gave ecstasy to the very souls of the devotees. That was Mukunda. Nimai would stop him along the road path and say, "Mukunda, I have a question for you." Mukunda would say, "What is your question?" And they'd get in a big debate, and Nimai would completely defeat him. And Mukunda would, "Why do you keep doing this to me?" And after some time, when Nimai, gradually, he became a teacher. Jagannath Mishra asked Nimai, who would you like to be your teacher? And Nimai told him, Gangadas Pandit. Gangadas Pandit was one of the most popular devoted teachers in all of Navadvipa. The Gaur Ganodash Tipika declares that Gangadas Pandit in his previous birth was Sandipani Muni, who in Avanti Desh, Ujjain, was the teacher of Krishna and Balaram. He taught Krishna and Balaram all these different sciences and Vedas and 64 arts. And Krishna and Balaram, they learned each one immediately, fully. After being in Sandipani Muni's ashram for a couple months, they wanted to give a gift to Sandipani Muni. Krishna Balaram asked, "What dakshina can we give?" And Sandipani Muni's wife, she said, "Our only son, he drowned in the ocean. Can you bring him back for us? Because we know what you did in Vrindavan. You could do anything." So Krishna Balaram went to the ocean and told the ocean, "We want those children. We want that son back." And the son said, "There's a demon named Panchajanya. He killed him." So they dove to the bottom of the ocean and they found Panchajanya, who was in the form of a conch shell. And they fought him and defeated him. And Krishna kept his body to be his conch shell. They couldn't find the children. Then they went to the abode of Yamaraj. And they told Yamaraj, "Please give us
our guru's son. And Yamaraj said, oh, I'm very sorry, I didn't know. He must be here somewhere. I gave him back to Krishna, gave him his life back, and Krishna and Balaram brought the child back to Sandipani Muni and his wife, and they were very happy. So that same Sandipani Muni became Gangadas Pandit. Murari Gupta, who was much older than Nimai, he was one of the students there, as were so many others, Mukunda. Jagannath Mishra brought Nimai, so beautiful, so attractive. As was explained, even when he did mischief to people, it was the highest happiness of their life. Even when they appeared to become angry with Nimai, it was just an expression of their love. They just wanted it to happen again and again and again. And Nimai, when he would defeat people in debate, no one else could do that like him. Because they would be happy. When you're really a proud scholar and you're undefeated, you're totally demolished and miserable if someone defeats you. But Nimai did it with such sweetness and such compassion that they would be happily defeated by Nimai. Jagannath Mishra brought his son to Gangadas Pandit. And he said, please accept him as your own son. And Gangadas Pandit, he said, I could never ever pray for a more wonderful student than Nimai. I will take care of him and teach him as my own son. And he did. And instantly, Nimai was his best student. He was the prize student. He would debate and defeat and argue with all other students. And they started teaching all the other students. And in those days in Navadvip, there was a lot of competition on knowledge. Everyone was proud that they had the best teacher. So the students were always fighting over who was the best teacher, especially at the Bathing Ghats. Nimai and his friends from Gangadas Pandit's ashram, they would go to the Bathing Ghat and other people would say, my teacher's the best. And Nimai would say, no, our teacher's the best. And then they'd start splashing each other and throwing sand at each other and wrestling with each other and debating with each other. That was Navadvip in those good old days, 500 years ago. And Nimai would defeat everyone. Gradually, Gangadas Pandit was so proud of him. He gave him so many titles. And Nimai himself became a teacher as he grew older. He was known as Nimai Pandit. The greatest of the Bhattacharyas, the Mishras, the Pandits, all these great scholars with so many titles would be challenged by Nimai. And same thing. He would say, ask a question. They'd ask a question. He would establish a truth. He'd say, can you defeat my truth? They said, it's impossible. You've thoroughly covered every aspect of that truth from so many different scriptures and so much logic and so many different grammatical or poetic composition. There's no way to defeat that truth. Then Nimai would tear to pieces what he just said. Totally defeat the truth. Disassemble it. Make it look foolish. Then he would say, could you reestablish that truth again after I've defeated it? They said, impossible. Nobody could do that. Then Nimai would tear apart the arguments that he just defeated what he originally said and reestablish the original truth. And he could just keep doing that again and again and again. And the greatest scholars were the age of his father, his grandfather. All they could do is just look at him with great happiness. Everyone was proud of him. In Navadvip, Nimai Pandit was loved by everyone. Not only was he the greatest champion scholar, but he simply attracted all hearts. Then Jagannath Mishra had that dream that I talked about before, where he saw Nimai as a sannyasi. He told Sachimata, "I think our son is going to leave us." She said, "He will not leave us." A few days later, Jagannath Mishra developed a fever, very high fever. He was on the verge of death. There was no doctor or anyone that could help him. Satyamata was in great distress. Nimai told his mother. He was in as much distress. But even in his distress, out of love, he consoled Sachi Devi that it is inevitable. In due course of time, the soul must leave the body of everyone. Death is inevitable. But mother, for the soul there is no death. This body is a temporary residence for the eternal soul. And in due course of time, by the power of time himself, the body breaks down and the soul moves on to its next destination. Please do not cry for the inevitable, my mother. Our father will certainly achieve the greatest destination. Nimai loved his father. It's interesting how even when knowing the highest truths and realizing the highest truths, still the nature of love. Is to cry in separation. Because the body is a vehicle, which is the medium in which we reciprocate love with the soul of that person. And although we have no sorrow for the soul of a person who lives a devoted life, at the time of death we celebrate. But still, that precious medium in which we exchanged through the medium of our bodies is gone. And that separation is heartbreaking. The relatives were wondering, what should we do? He's dying. Nimai, he said, let us bring him to the bank of the Ganges and constantly chant the holy names of the Lord around him. Because there's no greater act of love for a dying person than to surround him with Krishna, who has incarnated in his holy names. As Jagannath Mishra's body was laid down on the banks of the Ganges, Nimai, Sachi Devi, all the relatives were there, chanting his holy names, sprinkling him with Ganga water, tulsi leaves, Mahaprasad. Nimai said to his father, "How will I live without you?" Who will chastise me? Who will hold my hand? Who will call me his son? Throughout my whole life, you have filled my heart with your love, with your kindness, with your wisdom. What will I do? Where will I go? How will I live without you, dear father? Jagannath Mishra looked at little Nimai. He was completely in a mood of surrender. He prayed to Lord Ram, "I now entrust the care of my son to you." And surrounded by the holy names of Krishna, and himself chanting the names of Krishna in a state of samadhi, totally absorbed in remembering Krishna, he gave up his external body. Vrindavan Das Thakur, Lochan Das Thakur, they both explain that he went back home, back to Godhead. Jagannath Mishra is Nanda Maharaj in Krishna's Leela. He returned to his eternal service in the spiritual world of Goloka. In separation, Nimai cried. Satyamata came and placed her head at the feet of her departed husband and cried, "Why did you leave me here alone? Why did you not take me with you?" But she felt a great responsibility for Nimai, and Nimai felt great responsibility for his mother. Just as Lord Ramchandra cried incessantly when he received the news of the departure of the soul of his father, Maharaj Dasarath, similarly, Nimai cried incessantly in separation from his beloved father. But he consoled himself so he could console his mother. And he told her, "I will always be with you." Nimai's mischievous activities were no more, at least not so much. Now he was Nimai Pandit, the greatest teacher in all of Navadvipa, the greatest student of Gangadas at the same time. His mother was a widow. She had lost her eldest son. She had lost 8 of her daughters. And now she lost her husband. Nimai was all she had. She lived for Nimai exclusively. And Nimai lived for her.